This poem is a kind of homage to O. Henry, the great writer of short stories, who it was told to me when I was growing up was an absolute hack. And in fact, many of his stories have, through the dint of repetition, taken the shape of cliches. But for me, upon rereading him as I did last year, I discovered a world that I hadn't imagined was there, and a complexity and a attention to language that I found compelling. And so this is a poem called A Square of Blue Infinity. And I wasn't just reading him at the time, I was also listening to Books on Tape as I made the drive up from the small town of Chester, where we live, to New Britain outside of Hartford, where I teach. And so for about a month, 3 weeks, I was accompanied by the voice of a failed Shakespearean actor reading O. Henry's stories. It's called Square of Blue Infinity. Snookered by traffic lights that turn the swim-up nine into a knot, Middletown fringe tediously damp with the same almost wet that streaks the windshield in such a way that wipers twitch ineffectively against the hard, light, clear edges. What Pound claimed no democratized campaign could maintain stages its revival upon the smudged glass. Morning. Red stutter of brake lights. Wide world winnowed to a stretch of road from the coast to Hartford. My passage sealed from traffic and saturated with felicitous diction, the glories of Books on Tape. Dear sir, your story spoken by a second-rate thespian for whom even commercials have dried up, nearly a century since you hopped a freighter into the banana boom, wanted by the feds for bank fraud, just another gringo in Honduras, with a scar the source of which he'd rather not reveal over mojitos. Did prison teach you the difference between prosaic and prosodic prose, or was it being fettered in the streets of the city you died in as Caliph of Baghdad by the subway, most colorful newspaper man in the five boroughs? You'd work all winter on fifths of scotch, while editors screamed for copy, putting down the occasional yarn on a typewriter, missing a few keys. You outwitted it by using a period for an apostrophe. Somewhere pent in your small flat, hunched over an overflowing ashtray, memories of endless rolling prairie must have uncharted the city's grid, leaving you a brief glimpse into something so large that no one could ever belong or even trace its terrible shape. Though you tried, with sinuously wound sentences laden with polysyllables, brogue, and what became a characteristic plot twist. I've heard your critics complain that you're too mannered, your phraseology ostentatious, your enduring reputation as a hack. But what art rebuffs contrivance? Even the trees flaming into autumn north of Middletown look different to each of the passing drivers, and are something altogether other, like your stately delineations that run from the hectic, haggard, perfunctory welcome, like the specious smile of a demirep, to a polychromatic rug, like some brilliant flowered rectangular tropical islet surrounded by a billowy sea of soiled matting. All in the course of the same story, one that is not believable, true, but not meant to be, any more than Sophocles intended Oedipus Rex to be the literal transcription of a typical Athenian nobleman's quirky yet predestined misfortune. No, you are like the conductor of a Viennese waltz, peering past your gloves at the orchestra as the orchestra swells, as a gentleman entails bows low above his lady's hand, lips poised above, but never making contact with her niveous flesh, proving that, between a thought and its realization, space is infinite. In your world, the wrong man gets the right job. Bums who want to be arrested can't. while rich misers receive sudden comeuppance. You and I both know it's akin to dance, not cartography, analogy, not mimetic affirmation, that the trajectory of no life could so gracefully arc towards a spindle of fate, abruptly changing direction. Unless, of course, we take yours. Frail North Carolina ex-con who rose to international literary renown in less than 9 years, then died in a New York hospital, penniless, drunk, and alone. Uttering last words that one of his own characters might have spoken. Turn up the lights. I don't want to go home in the dark. From where I'm sitting, there is no dark. The whole sky is lit up like a stadium. A thick braid of traffic forms, then unravels. The Cisco kid has just traversed an arroyo to find his cheating lover, and next to me, a gaunt woman mouths lyrics, slowly, to a song I cannot hear.